불에 당겨서.
Welcome you all to my thesis defense presentation. The title, as Professor Rao mentioned, it's comparing offline and online statistics estimation for text retrieval from overlap collections. During my MS, I have worked on three different things. Most of the time I spent on collection selection thing, which is the Roscoe approach. I also spent some time on query processing over incomplete autonomous databases, as well as handling query imprecision and data incompleteness, and I will describe that what I worked on later. So first I will tell about what is overall about what the text retrieval problem from overlap collection is. Then there is already one approach which, as the title mentions, offline approach, which is already there. It addresses this problem, and then I will describe what issues I thought can be there with that approach, and then in the later part the solution or the another approach. So let's say what is a multi synchronous and retrieval problem. So if you have a news domain, then we can have different collections like CNN, New York Times, Financial Times, or Wall Street Journal. And if the query is on if the query is some finance related query, then in that case Wall Street Journal or Financial Times can be a relevant collection to obtain the information from, compared to CNN or NYT. They also have information, but more relevant information can be obtained from Financial Times or Wall Street Journal. So basically the mediator system or the information retrieval system has to route the query to the collections from which we can get the maximum amount of relevant information. This collection need not be necessarily disjoint. They can be overlapping collections. Here I will take the example of multiple bibliographic collections. Different collections like ACM, IEEE, DBLP, and CSV have publications on computer science domain or electrical domain, and science has publication on other science domains. So there can be overlap among ACM and IEEE or ACM and DBLP. So for example, if a query is on databases, or for example a query is like data mining, then we can obtain results from either from related publication either from the ACM or DBLP. Maybe the DBLP contains maximum number of relevant documents for query data mining, then in that case the mediator will call DBLP first, and based on that whichever rest of the collections are there should be called in order of the amount of information they have. So now there are two questions here to ask, like how likely it is that a collection gives results relevant to the query, and given the results collections that are already selected, which collection is going to give new or novel results. The related work in this field or dispute in this literal, like most previous collection selection approaches do not consider overlap. For example, Corey and REDD, and they create the term and document frequency information for each of the collection, and based on that they determine which collections are relevant. And REDD uses or creates the samples of the collections to determine statistics about the relevance from these collections. The same statistics can be used for determining overlap as well in presence of overlap among the collections. Another work is the they wanted to show that Bernstein and Sobel work by Bernstein and Sobel, they wanted to show that if there is a redundancy in the document, then if you don't consider the redundancy, then that can affect the search results. So what they found, they tried on the track 2004 terabyte track, and what they found was 16.6% of the documents were redundant. Another work which considers overlap in source selection done by Nee and Kamapathy is coverage. It uses coverage and overlap statistics in context of relational data sources. Overlap among these tuples is, can be identified relatively easily compared to text documents. Now the overall challenges involved for problem with overlap collections is first is the need for query specific overlap. Collection as a whole may not have that much of two collections as a whole may not have high overlap, but they may have high overlap for a particular set of queries. Another is overlap assessment offline versus online. Offline approach, so it depends on how much processing we want to do online, and offline approach can store statistics for general keywords beforehand, and whenever a query comes at runtime, it can map the query to the to the already created frequent item sets or keywords and statistics from them. This approach is taken by or employed by Costco, which is a system from our group and which is published in as a short paper in www, which was which that work was done by Hernandez and Kamapathy. And another work can be another approach, online approach, can use the samples to estimate the overlap among the collections. Another challenge is to efficiently determine the true overlap between collections. The true overlap should come from if there are set of results from a pair of collections or multiple collections, then the true overlap should come by considering the result by result overlap, and to efficient, and that can be determined by comparing two result or documents in terms of back similarity, and which has to be efficiently determined. And approach for to efficiently determine is already published by published from a university from Australia, and I will discuss about that approach later.
I have one question in related work.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone running information retrieval? Like, what is the relevance of a query
mm-hmm.
to a source?
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone done any work like that?
Yeah, I mean, all this query RDD approach and Costco approach, all these approaches are finding the relevance of a source with respect to query, or how many relevant documents are there for a particular query from that particular source.
But I know Google did something, they modified their page rank so that they have a page rank specific query. Are you aware of
the search? In what context are you asking here, like relevance for a source?
Yeah.
Or
query is relevance to a source.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, is this an extensive list of all the latest work?
Means query is relevance to main problem that we are addressing here is to select the collections, means whichever
right.
Method is there for
so
for determining
using
yeah,
relevance,
yeah.
Right.
So we are
so what I'm asking is, has anyone else done information retrieval work
mm-hmm.
to compute the relevance of a query
mm-hmm.
to a source?
Means there are means we can use different methods for
relevance of a source to a query.
Means
if I type Hassan, which sources you should go? If I type stock or Intel, which sources you should go? Has
yes.
anyone done work like that? Or is it kind of
so is this, means this query and RDD approach exactly, or and the Costco approach, all these approach.
So these three are the only approaches
There is one more work as well which recently published, and there are other works by Nottleman and Spaher, which like they use decision theoretic approach to compute the relevance of a source to a query. Yeah, so may not be this may not be the extensive list of the.
Need for query specific overlap is exactly about the point. You should have given an example there. So the idea is there may be sources that are more relevant for some queries and less relevant for other queries. Point one.
Point two,
sources may be overlapping much more for one query and less overlapping for some other query.
Right.
Okay,
so
that's exactly the kind of thing that gets done in this area. And one of the things that you know, the different people look at it in a different granularity level as to whether you wind up keeping the statistics at the query level or at an aggregate level. You know, it's just a question of how much, and in fact, part of his point is trying to say that having very, very specific statistics does help. But if you do it offline, you need to remember too many statistics. But if you do it online, you can get exactly statistics specific to the query, but it's the online timing.
Right. So
that's
my question is one related to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, has anyone done, given a query at an aggregate level, what is the relevance of a source to that query? Because
aggregate
the
level
approach is query driven, right? Given
okay.
a query, you
mm-hmm.
So, my question is this all the related work? I'm interested in this area. So, if I want to find the related work, are these the only ones, or do you have a more extensive list that you present here?
Maybe there is one approach, as I told, by Nottleman and Spaher, which looks at which combines query with decision theoretic approach, and any other approach. I'm not sure about the.
But mostly these are the good places to start.
Which ones?
The query REGDB and
Costco
are good places to start from. Between them, they will cite all the relevant work. But ultimately, the question you're asking, has anybody done it? Every one of these people are trying to do that specific issue, that is, trying to figure out, given a query, how relevant is a collection. And the difference is in terms of the granularity of analysis. You do it very query specific, very query unspecific, then you take overlap into account, you only consider them independently. Those are all the issues.
So my other question is, you can look at the relevance between a query and a document, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So, for example, search engine index everything,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they resolve the relevant query to document.
Mm-hmm.
When is it that, rather than indexing everything and using that architecture, I should be using this architecture, which is collection approach? When is it that your thing being?
Instead of document level, relevance. Actually,
I can point Google, right,
mm-hmm.
and index everything,
mm-hmm.
and then I ask a query, it gives me something else.
So everything is centralized and not.
Right.
So if you have access to, or if all the documents or all the information is available at one place, then and you know the indexing over those documents, then you should better go for a centralized approach. But if you don't have access to, you have multiple collections and multiple search engines are working over those collections, and if you don't have access to index or the statistics, then this kind of approach should be used.
So this thing makes sense when there are access restrictions.
Yeah.
So the underlying source.
Yeah.
That should come out more clearly in your motivation and introduction. Because I should know when to use your thing.
Okay.
And it's not coming out right now.
As I mentioned, Costco is one approach which has already addressed the problem of, or as it has already estimated the overlap statistics from the collections, but it does it offline. So what happens, it can't store coverage and overlap statistics for each of the query, but it has to store the statistics for some higher level or some general keywords. So what happens is whenever a query comes, it maps the incoming query to the frequent keywords. Let's say if the query is data mining integration, then maybe for that particular collection or the frequent keywords are data mining and data integration, or so query data mining integration is mapped to those two keywords, and the statistics for the data mining integration is obtained by averaging over those two keywords. So sometimes this averaging can lead to a different estimate from the actual estimate that data mining and integration query has. So in such case, samples or online approach can be used. Samples based approach is used by REDD to estimate the relevance. The same samples can be used to estimate the overlap as well. So whenever a query comes, we can send a query to the sample and get the relevant documents from the samples and determine overlap among them. And because these answers are particular to the query, they can be more more accurate results if the given that the sample that is obtained is of a good quality or good representative of the actual collection. So that is one thing that I was looking at to do the overlap statistics different from Costco. Another thing is Costco estimates overlap using batch similarities. So what it does is between two collections, it determines the overlap by whatever the set of documents are there from a particular collection for a particular query. It makes a set of those documents as one set and like terms of those documents as one set, and similarly a set of terms from another collection as one set, and determines the batch similarity between them. But a better estimate can be, or true overlap can be determined based on if we have result by result, or one document is compared to the other document, one document from one collection is compared to one document from the other collection. That kind of overlap can be more accurate. So I have tried to include that kind of overlap, and to efficiently implement it, I have used grainy aspect approach, which is already there. And in distributed inference and retrieval community, or inference and retrieval community generally, the experiments are done on track benchmark, and like Costco didn't do experiments on track benchmark. I am using track genomics data to do the experiments. So this is how things I have done as part of my thesis, and these are I'm listing the contributions. Roscoe, the online approach to estimate the overlap statistics from the sample of the collection, and comparing the offline approach, that is Costco, to the online approach, Roscoe, for statistic estimation.
So I have one question here. So the first contribution, right? Online approach estimate overlap statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So on page 12, you say the success of the online approach depends on the quality of the samples created.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean by quality of samples?
Means it has to be uniform representative of the original collection. So what happens if there are two it should tell is like if the original collection size has or original collection has number of document distribution for different queries, in terms of like query 1 has 10 documents relevant in collection, query 2 has 8 documents relevant in the collection, so same kind of order should be there in the sample, same amount of ratio, and from the sample itself you should be able to determine how depending on the sample size and the estimate that you make for the collection size, you should be able to make as near approximation as possible about how many relevant documents are there for a particular query in that collection. So basically one thing is it should be a uniform sample.
What is the assumption that you need to make to ensure that your samples are quality?
A sample based approach is already there, which is REDD approach, and they do it for relevance. So they have shown the error rates by using their technique, how much error is there, and the error rates are reasonably low in terms of prediction of relevance based on the samples. And I'm using the same approach to create the samples, and I'm extending it to estimate the overlap from the samples.
So you're assuming that your samples are over time, some reasonable period of time, will become quality.
Means what I'm not doing sampling like continuously. Just once the sample is created, I'm not updating it over a period of time.
So you should clearly write down what are your assumptions about the sources. Are they autonomous? Are they not? Are they changing? Are they not? What are your assumptions? So under those assumptions, we know that your system will work properly.
So first, I will describe the Costco architecture so that we know how Costco works, and then Costco architecture. So Costco has two components. One is offline component and online component. As mentioned, it's before Costco stores statistics for the general keywords. For that, it uses queries from the query log, and for those queries, it determines the coverage and overlap statistics. And based on the queries, it determines frequent item sets. So based on the each, because the queries are taken from the query log, we have a frequency associated with these queries, and based on that, using a priori algorithm, the frequent item sets are identified. And for those frequent item sets, the coverage and overlap statistics are stored. So when a query comes on the online component, maps the query to the frequent item sets. As I mentioned, it maps data mining integration to data mining and data integration, and then averages over the statistics for those item sets, and based on that computes the collection order in terms of coverage of maximum coverage for the first source, and then rest of the sources in terms of the maximum residual coverage given the source or collection that are already selected. Next, the Roscoe architecture, which as I mentioned, it has to create the collection sample for doing online estimation. So it creates the collection samples using query-based sampling, and also does size estimation of the actual collection. I will describe this in detail later. And also for efficiently determining duplicate documents, it stores or computes the Greene S vectors for the sample documents and stores all the things. And whenever a user query comes, the online component computes relevance and overlap statistics based on the sample and the Greene S vector and the size estimates, and based on that it determines the collection order similar to Costco, maximum relevance as the first collection, and depending after that whichever collection has the maximum residual relevance, in that order it calls the collection. So now I'll describe the components that are there in the Roscoe approach in some more detail. In the offline component, one part was to create the samples, and the samples are created using query-based sampling. This approach is taken from REDD, which sends a set of training queries to the each of the collections, and gets back a limited number of documents, and creates samples and indexing them, and also creates the union of all the samples to use later in to determine what are the top relevant documents over all the collections for a given query. Another thing that is required is collection size estimation. Why this is required? Because the samples that are created are uniform in size, but the collections from which they are created can have varying size. So for example, if two different samples have 10 relevant documents, but first sample is 1/10 of its corresponding collection, and another sample is 1/5 of its corresponding collection, then the one which has a bigger collection sample size ratio is going to have more number of relevant documents, although the number of relevant documents in both the samples are same. That's why we need to do the size estimation. And for that, the approach is taken from REDD, and what it does is it randomly sends query to the collection as well as their corresponding samples, and retrieves documents from both of them, and averages over the cardinality of the documents from retrieved from the collection to the corresponding sample, and multiplies it with the sample size to obtain the estimate of the collection size. Another thing is the grainy hash factor, which is this work is done by Bunsen and Zobel to determine near duplicate to detect near duplicate using grainy hash factor. So basically, duplicates can be determined based on the back similarity between two documents, but it can be computationally expensive to do runtime. So what the technique they've used, each document is mapped to a set of hash values, and based on this hash vector is created for each of the document, and then at runtime, this by comparing this hash vector, the duplicates are like how similar two documents are, that can be determined. I won't go in the detail of how this grainy hash vectors are created. It is described in the thesis document. And to if we want only exact duplicates to be noticed or detected, then what we can do is like both of the grainy hash vectors for both of the documents should be exactly identical. We should not allow any mismatches between corresponding grainy hash vectors.
You mentioned something about if you have two collections of different sizes, let's say one has 100,000 documents and one only has 200 documents, and both retrieve on the same query 100 documents. And then what was your, which collection do you think is more relevant?
So actually, what it's tried to estimate here is like which what are the number of relevant documents from the collection and not from the sample. So that runtime we have access to sample to determine the collection order. We can't directly call the collection otherwise the work is already done to call the collection. So we have to determine the number of relevant documents from based on the samples. But that does not actually reflect the, just comparing those numbers does not reflect how many relevant documents are there in the corresponding collections. So grainy hash vector, I won't go in the detail that described in the thesis document how they are created. Now the online part, one thing is assessing the relevance, that is how many relevant documents are there in each of the collection for a given query, and this approach is also taken from the REDD sample based approach. What it does is when a query comes, it sends that query to the samples and retrieves documents from the samples related to that query, as well as retrieves the documents from the union of the samples, and based on that it determines how many top k or top in this. In the experiments that I have done, I have set k equal to 100. How many top 100 documents are going to be there in each of the collections? So that's how it determines the relevance of each collection with respect to the user query. Another thing that has to be assessed is the overlap between the collections, and that also on the ROSCO approach does it online. So basically what it does, it uses the set of documents that are retrieved from each of the samples, and it also has the grainy hash vectors computed for the sample documents, and based on the grainy hash vector and the set of documents, it determines like how many from a set, two set of documents, how many documents are common in both the sets. That's how the overlap is determined. And once the overlap is determined, it is combined with the relevance in a sense. Whichever collection has the maximum number of relevant documents is called first, and then depending on the whichever collection is already selected, the rest of the collections are selected in terms of the residual relevance or number of novel results that each of the collection provides. Now, after discussing comparison of Roscoe and Costco, as I already mentioned, Costco is an offline method for estimating coverage and overlap statistics compared to Roscoe, which is an online method. And as I use the example that data mining and integration query can be mapped to frequently occurring keywords, data mining and data integration, to obtain the statistics by Costco, and Roscoe does it by sending query to the sample, which gives the results relevant to that particular query. So it can be more accurate estimate if the sample is of good quality. And that's what the third point is. Now, so in that case, it has to be okay. If you are using just the sample based approach, then we don't have any other information, or maybe we can relax the query by removing one keyword. Means I haven't implemented that, but relax the query by removing each of the keyword, because relaxing the query can fetch in more results. So if the query is data mining integration, but if we relax it to just data mining, that there might be some possibility that the sample contains sample contains results for the data mining. And another approach can be that the we can store, means we can use the statistics that are stored by Costco, means we can use its approach to compute the statistics from the stored statistics. Now the empirical evaluation, the main objective of the empirical evaluation was whether Roscoe, the online approach, can perform better in an environment of overlapping text collections compared to the other approaches which do not consider overlap as well as the offline approach. That's what the second objective tells. So first, the data set that I used and how the test bed I created, I've used a track genomics data which comes with which has 50 queries on that domain with human assessed relevance judgments for those particular queries, and those judgments are like for some set of documents, whether that document is relevant or not relevant for that particular query. That kind of judgments are provided, and taste beds are created in two different ways, which kind of provide variety in a sense. One taste bed is created such that the collections are of uniform size, another taste bed is created such that they are of varying size, and also the amount of overlap is different in both of these taste beds. So for creating this taste bed, 200,000 documents from the track genomics corpus is used, and each of the 200,000 document is randomly put to 10 different collections in the to create the first test bed, and which makes a total of 2 million documents. As the document is randomly put to multiple collections, there may not be topic specific collection. Means one collection may have document small number of documents on each of the topic, but may not be very high on high number of documents on one particular topic. So in that case, overlap can also be low in terms of topic specific overlap for these collections. While the second test bed is created by randomly assigning the clusters that are created from the original 200,000 document to 10 different collections, and as the clusters can be of varying size, the size of the resulting collections can vary, as well as because we have used clusters to create the collections, and the collections tend to be more topic specific because of the clustering, as well as the overlap for a particular topic can also be more in the between the collections compared to the first test bed, that is the uniform test bed. slide shows the size and relevance statistics. Uniform test bed is almost uniform size of the collections, and the skewed test bed has varying size of the collection. And also in terms of the relevant documents, almost all the collections are having equal number of mean relevant documents compared to the another test bed where the number of relevant documents vary. In terms of overlap, because the second test bed or the skewed test bed, which is created using the clustering, can have high topic high overlap between collections. That's why some of the collection pairs have overlap up to 0.7 as well, ratio of the overlap between collections, compared to the uniform test bed where the highest ratio of overlap between collection pairs is less than or equal to 0.2.
Why is it actually mainly?
No, it's not a, it's in 0.1 to 0.2.
But I mean, it seems that it's sort of majorly 20%.
Yeah, so it's uniformly distributed, and because there are like 50 collection and one document is put to 10 different collections.
Yeah.
And the methods that are tested, like Costco is the method which Costco, RADD and ROSCO, and those are the methods that are tested. And to establish performance bound, greedy ideal is also implemented. It is not for test, it is not tested, but it is used as a baseline method in the evaluation. And in terms of training, Costco requires to collect the coverage and overlap statistics offline. So like out of 50 queries, 40 of the training queries were sent to each of the collection to obtain the statistics. And for ROSCO and RADD, the 25 randomly selected queries were sent to each of the collection to form the samples. And the sample size is 10% of the actual collection. And also, as I mentioned, size estimation is required. 10 size estimates are done for each of the collection. For duplicate detection, GHVs are created of 64 bits with 32 vectors of 2 bits each. These numbers are taken from the paper published by Bernstein and Zobel. They have done experiments, and these numbers sound to be performing best among the parameters that they have tried. And as the for tract genomics data, we have the relevance assessment in terms of whether a document is relevant or not. So to assess with respect to tract relevance, we can only assess whether the documents are exact duplicate or not. We can't have like whether it's a near duplicate, two documents are near duplicate or not. So to do that in the experiments, only exact duplicates are estimated, and to estimate exact duplicates, only means all the hashes in the greening instructor should match. Evaluation is done in terms of recall after each collection called, and in terms of the processing time for each of the methods. And the recall after each collection is done either in terms of central evaluation or track evaluation. Central evaluation is, but if we don't have any relevance judgments available by humans, then what we can do is we can use the same relevance ranking method and apply it to the a union of the collections and get the results and get the top 100 results, and also using the same relevance ranking method obtain the results from the each of the individual collections and determine recall in terms of how many of the top 100 documents are retrieved after each collection called. And track evaluation has human assessed relevance judgments available, so we can use those judgments for the evaluation. As I mentioned, a greedy ideal approach is used for baseline ranking. So how it is implemented is it knows the distribution of the, yeah.
One question in the previous slide. Did you do this with and without size estimates? Do you know how much size estimate helps, or?
The results are already provided in the RADD paper that if like query is an approach which doesn't use the size estimate, and in terms of the same size collections or uniform size collections, query and RDD almost perform equally, but in scenario of the varying size collections, the RDD approach performs better than query.
With size.
Varying size, yeah, with size estimates. I mean, you have to estimate overlap in some way. At least the online approach estimates overlap based on the results that are particular to that for that particular query, compared to the offline approach, which averages over the multiple general keywords. So here it's depending on what the other approach is out there. If this particular approach can perform better, then even if the error rate is square, it should not matter much. So greedy ideal approach has the it knows the distribution of the top k documents over all the collections, and based on that it greedily tries to maximize the recall after each collection is called, and it is used as a baseline ranking method in the evaluation. As I mentioned, the results evaluation is done either against the central union collection or the using track judgments. And for central evaluation, as 40 training queries out of 50 were used for training queries, 10 are used for the testing. And just using these 10 queries may not give a good estimate of the or may not give good estimate of the each of the approach. We are using five-fold cross-validation, and evaluation metric used is this one, which calculates this particular value after each collection being called. And the numerator is the collection, uses the collection order given by a particular method, either RADD, ROSCOE, or COSCO, and the denominator is the collection order given by the baseline ranking method, that is the greedy ideal method. And the so that is the number of documents retrieved by the first collection in that order. So if it is after kth collection, like at the sixth collection, the numerator will be the number of total relevant documents retrieved up to sixth collection by that particular. Yeah, all top k are considered being equally relevant. These plots are for both the test bed, and both of them almost show 7 to 8% gap over RADD for the ROSCOE. So this one is ROSCOE, this is middle one is RADD, and the lower one is the COSCOE. Even though COSCOE takes overlap into account, it performs lower compared to the RADD, which doesn't take overlap into account. The reason for this can be because COSCOE estimates the statistics of relevant and overlap based on the mapping it to general keywords, compared to RADD, which computes the relevance by sending query to the actual center to the samples, which can have a better estimate.
So if you increase the number of
Number of over the keywords.
Yeah, so I mean there are parameters for COSCO which essentially is how many statistics and what level of lambda you are remembering.
Mm-hmm.
The equivalent parameters for ROSCOE is how
sample
big the lambda
yeah.
is.
Yeah, for
right. So you sort of took the Costco as the black box, but the dim of these will be this.
Yeah, that can be. And also one thing in Costco is it considers the pairwise overlap and not the overlap with while computing the overall overlap, it just uses the pairwise overlap between the collections. While what Roscoe does is it has a set of documents that are already selected or that are already present in the selected collections, and whichever new collection comes, it computes the overlap that of that particular sample with the previously selected samples. So it's not a pairwise overlap, but it compares with all the previously selected samples or collections. In terms of track evaluation, for TasteBed 1, Roscoe doesn't show much improvement over RADD as there is not much overlap in TasteBed 1, but TasteBed 2, it shows almost 8 to 10% improvement over the RADD, because the for TasteBed 2 or the skewed collection TasteBed has higher overlap because of the way it is created using clusters. In terms of processing cost, processing time, Costco is almost having a negligible processing cost at runtime compared to RADD, and Roscoe having almost 3 to 4 seconds at max for this particular TasteBed, and almost 10 seconds as max for Roscoe on this TasteBed, and RADD almost 5 seconds. In the first TasteBed, RADD and Roscoe both have almost the similar processing cost at runtime. So even though it Roscoe provides better recall, it has almost the same cost. And for the second, it is somewhat higher, but still, if the recall that is provided after a particular collection is much different or much higher than the RADD, then this cost can be compensated. And here the cost of offline cost is not compared. So Costco has offline cost to store the statistics. Even Roscoe and RADD have, but none of the offline costs are considered over here. So no, results are better for skewed 100 compared to uniform 50.
Oh, okay. Then I just have another question about the mixed slides. So, in the other two slides, you compare number of collections selected versus the recall metric.
Oh,
and here you have the processing cost over number of queries. I was just wondering how would your online approach or the Roscoe approach do when more selections are selected? I mean,
this is not number of queries, this is for each individual query. The number of collections, yeah, as the number of collection increase, the cost is going to increase for both RADD and Roscoe.
And okay. And is there a big difference in those two approaches, or I mean, are they sort of similar? Are they just both need more time, or one is increasing?
For this particular TasteBed where like overlap is not much more, like both have almost the same time gap, but if the overlap is more than computing that,
but this graph is for how many
100 this is for 50 collections, this is 100 collections.
Yeah, but I mean for how many, I mean the previous graph, maybe I'm just a little confused. In the previous graph, your x-axis goes over how
number
many
of after each collection called, what is the recall metric.
Yeah,
and this is the to computing the order, so for each of the queries, how much is the processing cost for computing that or determining that collection order for a particular query.
Oh. And this will increase if you select more collections.
Yeah, online up for that. So, summary of results, I evaluated Roscoe RDD and Costco on two different test beds with overlapping collections, and Roscoe shows improvement over RDD and Costco by 7 to 8% for central evaluation and almost 3 to 5% on uniform test bed and 8 to 10% on clustered collections or skewed collections. And processing time for RDD and Roscoe is more compared to Costco, but number of collections called by RDD and Roscoe are less to achieve the same amount of recalls compared to the number of collections called by Costco. So it they can be compensated, that cost can be compensated. The other work that I am involved in, one is the QPR project. First I'll give what overall QPR project is and then in what part I was involved. So as the autonomous web data or web databases are created by users, or they are created by extracting information from the web pages, there can be some of the missing values in the tuples, and but still those tuples can be relevant to the query. So for example, if the query is body style equal to convertible, then any of these tuples may have body style equal to convertible. And as the databases are autonomous, we cannot change the databases themselves, but we have to rewrite the queries or send some more queries to retrieve this kind of tuple. For that, the approach was using AFD as a feature selection to get the higher prediction accuracy for a attribute containing missing value. And so in this example, model determines body style with high confidence. Based on that, for a body style equal to convertible, the corresponding models can be either A4, Z4 or Boxster, and based on the confidence of these queries, which is estimated in terms of the naive-based classifier, and based in order of that confidence, these queries can be rewritten. Sometimes what can happen is, like, if the queries are rewritten only in terms of the accuracy, then maybe highly accurate query gets back very less or less number of results, and the user may not be user may allow low precision or low accurate results, but he may want high number of results or high recall. So in that case, that's what I was involved with. So to combine these two, precision and recall, F-Measure is used in information literature community, and that measure is used to rewrite the queries over here, which provides the configurable parameter alpha based on which a higher weight can be given to either precision or recall. If alpha is set to 0, it's precision only, and as alpha goes away from 0, it gives more weight to recall compared to precision. And so this can be useful when the number of queries are the number of queries that can be sent in specific amount of time, or if there are resource constraints, then the in that case, to determine which queries to send based on the user preference, this approach can be used. And this is what I was involved with. And also the joins are implemented using the F-Measure, and this is one of the plots for the join, where the solid line is with alpha equal to 0, which looks for high precision, so it almost stays at high precision but gives low recall. This axis is recall and this is precision, and the as the alpha value is increased, it gives more weight to recall, so this one degrades in precision but gives much higher recall, and this is one more value of higher value of alpha, which gives more higher recall as well. And as part of this, one research paper in VLDB 2007 is accepted on this project, and I am one of the co-authors on that paper. Another work that I was involved in is on Quick project, and so basically the project, this the main objective of quick project is to handling unconstrained attributes in main is handling imprecise query and data incompleteness. So data incompleteness is already seen in the QPR project, and query imprecision is although the user asks for if the domain is car domain, then although the user asks for model equal to civic, he may be interested in Accord. So that is what query imprecision. So that work was done, and then there is another work which considers the tuples having equal value on the constrained attribute to be having different relevance to the query depending on the other attributes that those tuples have. That work was published in PLDB 2004, and I'm using that work to combine with the query imprecision and data incompleteness. So by combining this, what can be done if the query is on model equal to civic, then if we don't consider this unconstrained or unconstrained attributes, then all the models for civic will be shown first before showing the similar results like Accord or Camry. But depending on by using unconstrained attributes, some Accord with sedan body style may be more relevant than a Civic with coupe body style. So based on the unconstrained attributes, we can show the similar tuples before showing the exactly matching tuples to the query. And for that, the approach that is used here is in terms to estimate the relevance depending on unconstrained attributes from the query log. But as we didn't have enough amount of query log, the relevance for unconstrained attribute was approximated from the database, and the user study was carried out with two different methods which consider the unconstrained attributes and which doesn't consider the unconstrained attributes in presence of query imprecision and data incompleteness. And 10 queries were used with different binding patterns, and 13 users were involved in the user study. And the metric used was the this metric which gives less importance to the results that are marked relevant by the user, which are lower down in the list compared to the results that are higher up in the list. And here the first bar is with the without considering the unconstrained attributes, and the second bar is with considering the unconstrained attributes. And in four out of five binding patterns, on the method considering unconstrained attributes performs better in terms of user expectation. And there is a demo paper in CIDR 2007 on quick project. I am also one of the co-authors on that paper. Conclusion is here the an online method for Roscoe for OLAP estimation is presented. The Roscoe work was submitted to Transaction on Information Systems Journal, and we got encouraging reviews. The reviewers said agreed that the problem is important, or the approach is important, but they wanted to you do the experiments on a different test bed from track, which is on .geo domain, which is generally used for distributed information retrieval. Then the one that I have used, that is the genomics corpus. I also compared the offline and online approaches for text retrieval in overlapping environment, and results show that the online method for overlap estimation performs better for the experimental settings that I had compared to the offline method for overlap estimation, as well as the methods which do not consider especially RDD method, which does not consider the overlap among the collections. And as part of the other two other works that I was involved for some time, I was one of the co-authors on those two works as well. So thank you for listening to the presentation and questions.
I I just want to clarify myself. I guess, I mean, these on the results slide, if you select all the collections, your metric will be 1. Is that correct? Or
all the collections.
For every
yeah,
approach
yeah,
you
yeah.
do, I mean, if you
yeah.
select all collections, your
yeah.
metric will be 1. Then, I mean, let's say, yeah, are you familiar with Kayak? Kayak.com? It's like you can submit, I mean basically you can look for flights and
yeah,
it'll browse for you over all these websites, Expedia, Orbitz, but also the personal airlines. And I guess there the metric is very clear, it's the price of the ticket, and sort of who has the best price will show up high in the ranking. An online approach, there I see sort of an online approach because it sort of gradually improves the collection size but keeps updating the results. Maybe it'll go through Expedia and Orbitz and it'll output some results, and then it'll go through United, Delta, etc., and it'll output even more results. Are these things related to that type of approach, or is it
even
more
online
approach? Approach or
online approach, the way I've implemented is it's first computes the entire collection order, and then I'm not doing the query execution parts or results merging part, but if the query execution or result merging part is involved, then as fast as you get some collections in the order, like first collection is determined, you can send the query to that particular collection and get back the results. And or maybe what can be done is like we can select the top 5 collections in the, as long as the top 5 collections are determined, the queries can be sent to those collections and results over those collections can be merged, and then next set of 5 collections.
It's not really, I mean, I'm just wondering, I mean, I guess in a if you have, let's say, a bibliography collection, it may be kind of nice if there's some sort of a kayak which first goes through IEEE Explorer, and then it goes through some other, and it just keeps spitting out new papers, and that may have appeared in different conferences at one.
But that is dependent on IEEE. You are saying depending on relevance only, or
or
because of the user
name, and then IEEE will spit out all the papers where that.
But why do you want specifically from IEEE or any one?
No, any bibliography collection.
So I'm not actually handling the query execution and the result merging part. So if that this just outputs the collection order.
No, but I think your point is still, if your collection needs to take into account something like price. Kayak essentially all the airlines are relevant. Obviously, everybody is going from here to Netherlands. Every airline flies to Netherlands. So, how would you make sure that the most important thing is the price?
So, in that case,
what part of your algorithm changes such that you have to realize, for example, that if you are trying to go from here to Bay Area, look at southwest.com first before looking at anything else?
The relevance function has to be changed, or the way.
I don't know. The question is asking at any rate.
So relevance function here is just determining, representing query as a vector in terms in space of terms, and document as a vector in space of terms. So that relevance function has to be changed such that if you are looking for a flight to Bay Area, then based on the location, whichever source is more relevant, or whichever source has low price, so to get a sample in terms which has some information about how much the price range is for this particular location by this particular airline. So relevance function has to be changed.
Yeah, I think it depends also. I mean, with getting a ticket, it means sort of the metric is really clear.
Mm-hmm.
Or even with bibliography thing, I mean, you want papers that are either by the author or have some that keyword in the title, or I'm just trying to see if some of this maybe kayak approach, or maybe kayak can be done this way. I don't know, I'm just wondering. I'm not too much of a database, but I know my own personal experience with a few websites. But okay.
the audience get to leave and I believe you can still ask some questions. Thank you.
Top key.
So, I want to watch the movie, but I can understand that if I continue in the overlap between sources, then the overall recall will definitely be better compared with long call meaning running.
Just a moment, switch it off.
Overlap, but overall they have very few documents. So